Thanks for tuning in to No Compromise Radio with pastor and author, Dr. Mike Abendroth. Today on No Compromise Radio, we'll be hearing Pastor Mike open the Word of God in a recent message he preached at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. Now, let's join Pastor Mike in progress as he preaches through the Scriptures verse by verse with no compromise.
There are some advantages to being around a church for 17 years as a pastor. If you say something inflammatory to start a sermon, people wait to hear you out. So I hope that's the case this morning. The way to get to heaven is through obedience. The way it's always been and always will be is through works, through obedience. No obedience, no heaven. This is God's way. It's always been God's way. And before you jump to some theological conclusions too quickly, you're going to see from our passage today that the way to heaven is through obedience. I have a different question. When Jesus was born, and of course Joseph and Mary and praising God and the wise men, but then Herod comes along and he wants to kill any other king, 2 years old or younger if you're a male child, and if Jesus would have been killed by Herod, would we have salvation? Wages of sin is death, and Jesus dies. Would that have been enough? And getting to heaven by obedience and Christ living a full life, are they related? How are they related? Please turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 18, one of my all-time favorite passages. Some of you are saying instantly, where's Ruth? Where's the gospel according to Ruth? I was getting emails. We can't make it because of Snowmageddon. Please don't preach Ruth. We've got to get Ruth. I'm calling those people Ruthies. We love what's going on in the book of Ruth. But because of two services in the snow, I didn't want them to miss. And I also wanted to make sure you understood this very, very important passage. Mark Twain said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand." Has anybody ever asked you the question, how do I get to heaven? You're the religious person. You go to this, you know, church down the street, and you go Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, IBS, Tuesday night. You know, you're the religious person. How do I get to heaven? What have you told them? What's been your response? It's a great question to be asked. Would you ever, ever, ever in your wildest dreams tell them to do something? The way to heaven is obedience, and you must obey. Well, let's take a look at this passage this morning, and let's see Jesus the evangelist. My favorite preacher isn't Martin Lloyd-Jones, it isn't Charles Spurgeon, it isn't even Sinclair Ferguson, R.S. Lewis Johnson, or John MacArthur. My favorite preacher is Jesus himself, and my favorite evangelist is not George Whitefield, it's Jesus himself, the rich young ruler. He runs up to Jesus and asks him the question. I wonder if Jesus' response would be your response. Luke chapter 18, this account is found in Mark as well and in Matthew. I'll probably read some of those verses, but we'll hunker down here in Luke 18, verse 18, the same chapter. And a ruler, he was a young ruler, Matthew 19 says. He was wealthy, and he ruled probably in the synagogue. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do?" Now, immediately, people start falling all over themselves saying he lived in a works righteousness system, he thought heaven was by works, and how he could earn salvation on his own, and he's got this wrong thinking. But you know what? It was a perfect question. That was the right question to ask. Even the ESV Study Bible says, that's a good question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Mark 10 says, he ran up to him and knelt before him. He didn't just kind of saunter up. You know, that's the Henry David Thoreau, we saunter. Right? You can buy those t-shirts by the pond. He didn't kind of skip. When's the last time you ever skipped? I love watching a kid skip. That is just like the quintessential child moment. Skipping. He ran. He dashed up. This was important to him. And Mark also says that he knelt down. He knew Jesus was in authority and he needed the answer. And it would be good to go to heaven, wouldn't it? Who wants to go to hell and pay for their sins forever and ever? Eternal life with God, forgiveness, heaven and hell, those are the right kinds of ways to think. Our society today, most people don't even think about it. Most people don't even consider it. They're too busy thinking about what's going to happen today, what about my life, what about my work, what about my career. That's a good question to ask. Heaven or hell? He runs up to Jesus. I think if we'll look at the text in just a little bit, what happens before this passage with the children, there's probably children around. There are other people around. This isn't really too good to do if you're rich and you're a ruler and now you're running up to some rabbi and down on your knees begging him for this answer. Mark actually says he knelt before him and he kept asking. It's an imperfect tense. He asked over and over and over. I want to go to heaven. That is the right question. What must I do? It was a very common question to ask rabbis. According to Rabbi Eliezer, people would come and ask him this question often. Rabbi, teach us the paths that we may merit the life of the world to come. Now look back at chapter 10, please, in Luke. This is the exact question a lawyer asked him, because this is the question. Do you want to go to heaven? Let's ask God the question. Let's ask Jesus the question. And they knew Jesus was a Bible teacher. They knew he was a rabbi. They knew he knew the scriptures. They knew he was one who had authority. Who talks like this? And so people would regularly go up and ask Jesus the question. Luke 10:25. And behold, look, out of nowhere is the idea in Luke's writing. A lawyer, this is not the lawyer we would think of today that's going to bail you out of jail or represent you in a court. This is an expert in the law, the Old Testament law. This is an expert in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He's a Bible expert. He's a Bible answer man. The Bible answer man. Okay, a Bible answer man. Is that show still on? I don't know. A lawyer stood up to put him to the test. The demeanor is different here versus Luke 18. But the question is the same, and it's the right question. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Don't you think Jesus would say, no, it's not what you do, it's faith. Works righteousness system, no good. Even your righteous deeds are like filthy rags. No. You're thinking in a works righteousness world. Stop that. That's what I do. If you ran up and asked me, I'd probably do that. But what does Jesus say? Luke 10:26. That's why I love to study the life of Christ. There's nobody like him. Luke 10:26. He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? You're the expert. You know what the Bible says. What does Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus through Deuteronomy say? And so here the lawyer answers properly from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus. He's the expert in those things. And he answers Luke 10:27 from Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:28, and he said to him, You have answered correctly. You have answered orthos. Where do we get the word orthos? I used to work and watch, rather, orthopedic surgery. Straight, correctly, orthodox, or with orthodoxy. You've answered correctly. That's the right answer. Now, what does Jesus say? Is the way to heaven through obedience? Do you get to heaven through doing? What does Jesus say? I mean, you write this down on your college Bible school test, our application. We'd love to have you come be a new student. How do you get to heaven? If you say anything that starts with do, you're going to be fired. Do this and you will live. Present imperative. Keep on doing it with sacrificial action and love. Knowledge is not, it's not enough. Assent is not enough. You just have to do this. Now, I would probably say to someone, facetiously, I would say, let me give you the four spiritual laws. Let me tell you three easy steps to follow Christ. Jesus says, do this and live. Here's what Jesus says. Do the law. Keep the law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the way to heaven. It's always the way to heaven. It's the only way to heaven. Problem is, Deuteronomy 27 says, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. That's the problem, Deuteronomy 27. Paul quotes it in Galatians as well. But Jesus said, and you've seen it with your own eyes, do this and live. Now go backwards to the garden. Wasn't this the same kind of language in the garden? You may eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And God enters into a relationship with Adam. I would call it a covenant. Call it whatever you'd like. And Adam needed to have perfect and complete obedience. The test was given. Probation was given. Don't eat of the knowledge of the tree of evil, that tree. And Adam breaks the covenant. If Adam would have obeyed, eternal life. But he broke the covenant. Cursed is anyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Adam owed obedience. He had to perfectly do. Before the fall, God demands obedience. After the fall, God demands obedience. Adam was our federal head, and as Hosea says in chapter 6, verse 7, they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 2, verse 6. I want you still to see this idea of do and obey. And for those of you that just are ready to walk out because you think I'm works righteousness oriented, this is going to drive you to see the one, Jesus, who does, who obeys. You don't need Jesus as a little baby who dies at the hands of Herod. You need Jesus who lives a perfect life of obedience, don't you? Of course you do, but I've already told you the punchline. But I want to keep you in the sanctuary. Never been pelted with rocks and garbage, but I could probably use it on occasion. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. If the covenant of works is do this and you'll live, or disobey and you'll die. How do we read Romans chapter 2, verse 6? He will render to each one according to his works. Do. Obey. Every human, you, if I can say it, you live underneath the same command of God for heaven. Obey. Do. Do this and live. This is not talking here in Romans 2:6 about if you're really saved, you'll have good works. He will render to each one according to his works. And then look at verse 7. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Eternal life for the doers. Do. Say, I think you've got my attention. Look at these destinies of these people. Verse 8. But for those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth. They don't do, but obey unrighteousness. There will be wrath and fury. Who can stand, Nahum said, before your indignation, God? An old Baptist preacher said, the wrath of God does not end with death. This is a truth which the preacher cannot mention without trembling, nor without wondering that he's not tremble more. The eternity of punishment is a thought which crushes the heart. You've buried the man, but you have not buried his sins. His sins live and are immortal. They go before him to judgment. The Lord is slow to anger, but when he is aroused, he will be against those who reject his son. Verse 9 of Romans 2 says, there will be tribulation and distress for every human who does evil, or every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. They got priority of blessing in Romans 1:16, priority in judgment as well. He who does evil, no wonder the Bible says in John 3, he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He who does not obey. Look at verse 10 of Romans 2. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. The Jew first and also the Greek. Skip down to verse 13. He reaffirms the principle of verse 6. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the what? Doers of the law will be justified, will be reckoned righteous, will be justified. The doers of the law will be justified. And of course, Paul is saying, in this context, to the Jews who think partial obedience is enough, no. Now let's go back to Luke chapter 18, so we can see this rightly, because if you just default to, oh, this guy's got a works righteousness system and he's all wrong, it's hard to see the rest. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the right question, because you have to do to get to heaven. And of course, immediately, I know what you're saying. I can't do, that's why I need a Savior. Thank you. You need a substitute. You need substitutional obedience. Okay, back to the text. I think I like cliffhangers better. I do have a shepherd's crook in my study. I just don't want it around my neck. Hang in there with me. And a ruler, Luke 18:18, asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The right question. And Jesus does not say, let's quit, go get baptized, make a decision, accept Jesus in your heart. He gives him a wake-up call, the cold water in the face deal. I had problems when I was growing up, like other probably young men, and if I did not get out of bed to my alarm clock, my mother would walk over with some water, and she would sprinkle some water on my face, and you know what she called it? She called it the water treatment. That's why I am who I am. I got the water treatment. It just kind of startles you. I mean, there's water on your face. Figuratively, that's what's happening here. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And what does Jesus say? Remember, this guy is a prime candidate. This guy's a rabbi's dream, a poor rabbi's dream. This guy's rich and he's a ruler. Don't you want the rich guys? He's begging, he's running, he's on his knees, he won't get up. And Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? You called me good teacher. See that in verse 18. But I don't think you have any idea what you're talking about. Because good is a word reserved for God ultimately. A couple Greek words for good. One means externally pleasing, but the word here is intrinsically good. Who is intrinsically good? Anyone in the world? Yes, Jesus alone. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You're just throwing it around like Mr. Sir, Reverend, High Holy Father. You're just giving me some kind of name. Do you really know what you're saying? You're calling me God. Superficially good? No, Jesus is good. You don't know that when you call me good, you're calling me God. And Jesus is going to confront this young man with who he is so he can see himself. Now what you don't see is this young man saying something that Peter did. When Peter, by the Spirit's power, yes, I grant that, but when Peter got a glimpse of Jesus in the boat for who he was, the eternal Son of God, what did Peter say? Depart from me, for I'm a what? Sinful man. He's not there. Before you, as one man said, address me with such a title, you had better think soberly about what the implications are, especially for you. Now, what does Jesus say? He says, do. You want to go to heaven? Do. Obey. Verse 20, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. He gives five. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. But do honor your father and mother. Do not, do not, do not, do not, do. He quotes these five commandments. You say, well, why didn't he quote anything about loving God or something from the first side of the tablet? I think the answer to that question is found in 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has not, who he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. The failure of the second means failure of the first. Failure to love your neighbor means you're not loving God. What do I do? Obey! Now look at what he says in verse 21. Luke 18. I'd like to go to heaven. Jesus, I want to go to heaven. What do I do? Keep the commandments. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. Now in Mark it says, he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Dropping the good title, teacher, I've done all these things. Since the Jewish community has taken me into adulthood, I've done all that. I think he's confident. I think he's sure of himself. I've kept all these from my youth. I read two definitions of what a Christian is, both from Webster's dictionary, or from dictionaries, one from Webster's, one from Random House. Do you like these definitions of being a Christian? Webster's, a decent, civilized, or presentable person. Random House, exhibiting a spirit proper to a follower of Jesus Christ, and as having a loving regard for other persons. I think I'd probably say to my kids, you're getting warmer. Remember Paul in Philippians 3? Regarding the law, I was found blameless. Externally, legalistically, this guy is blind. He cannot see anything. I've met many people in my life and they'll say, I've never sinned in my life. I've never sinned. This guy's not a terrorist. This guy's not a bad guy. He's a good guy. Verse 18. Okay. Jesus heard this. When he heard it, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Now, there's something still failing you, to use the language of the Greek. There's something still wanting to thee. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. and Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. We're located on Route 110 in West Boylston, Massachusetts. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.